I'm Pastor Matt, and I'm the pastor here, I think. I can't remember. It's been so long. It's wonderful to be back with you. I've been out for 4 weeks as we've been trying to get to know our new family and settle our new family, and that process will continue ongoing even during this service probably today. We'll see how things go. If I'm preaching and I just run down from the pulpit, you'll know that there's been a blowout or something, I guess. And Carrie needs help. No, we'll try to avoid that. But we're so glad to be back with you today. And I'm so appreciative that you all gave me this time to be with our family. I frankly can't imagine how we would have adjusted if I had not had this time. So thank you for that. I think it makes me a better pastor, better able to be present with people when things are settled in my life. So I appreciate that. And I'm pretty much out of the loop on everything else. So if you have any announcements, I'll just direct you to what's in the bulletin here, and also to say that we did not get in the bulletin, but we will for next week, that we're coming up on the 4th of July here in 2.5 weeks or so, and we will have our 4th of July church picnic on July the 1st. It'll happen right after church out back here. Hamburgers, hot dogs, drinks, potato chips, all those things. So come and eat. Constance Garrett, who was an interim pastor here about 4 years ago, will be here that day because I will be in Houston with eight of our youth and Tina Heitman. I tell you, I think if Constance Garrett could have stayed, you all would have been happy never to have met me. I mean that in the best possible way. I know that she's loved, and so I hope many of you will be able to be here on the 1st of July to see her and to greet her as she helps lead worship that day. Next week, we're going to try to do a sending of sorts for the folks who are going to the youth gathering, for all who are able to be here, and then we will be leaving that following Tuesday early in the morning. That's really about all I know in terms of announcements. What do you all know that we ought to mention? Yes, sir, Joe. Tina. And this is a great camp that they do. It's not volunteers. These are people who are counselors at summer camp who come to do this day camp. So it's a really good camp. And $10 is a bargain even. So I do remember seeing as I walked down this hall here that we don't have a lot of people signed up for music yet this summer. So if you've got musical gifts that you've been thinking about sharing, we would love to nudge you and say, please share that with us, because I think today is the last day that we have somebody on the schedule, so we hope some of you will sign up for that. Up here, we have some prayer. They're not shawls. We call them stoles or scarfs. We want to send our prayers, though, with the folks who are going on this Houston trip. So if, as you come up to communion, you would put your hand on these and say a little prayer for those, we'll hand those out next week. Do we have other prayer shawls this morning? We don't. In that case, we'll wish happy birthday to Matthew, Amanda, Carol, Frank, Eddie, and Emily, and happy anniversary to Ted and Sherry, Jim and Jan, and Matthew and Monica. Anybody else we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I do want to mention also to say thank you to Etta Lee for playing for us today. She's very familiar with this pew, I think, but we are so lucky to have her. It's a blessing. So thank you, Etta Lee, for filling in while Judy's out. We'll continue with our prelude. Oh, I'm rusty. We got Father's Day.
He's forgotten he's a father. Well, first I want to say Agape Friends will not meet tomorrow night, so we can just enjoy our evening. Happy Father's Day from the Fellowship Committee. Did all fathers get a coin? If you did not get a coin, let me know so we can... Everybody got one? Oh, and I need the tickets. And did you get a ticket? So we're going to be drawing for a Sam's Car Wash. We have two Sam's Car Wash gift certificates. Oh, excuse me, it's Biscuit King.
I need the tickets. You going to draw from back there?
Okay, the first number is 713-190. 190, Jonathan. And 713-209. And Jim.
We stand as our worship continues on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I see.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up this way for a children's message. All right, good morning, everybody. Okay, I want to show you guys something this morning, all right? Check that out. Pretty cool. You guys ever been surprised by anything?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think I can move this without touching it and without touching the book? Let's see what I can do. Okay.
Well, that's magic.
Oh, let me try it again here, okay? Look at that. I got it spinning even. How's that work? Let me show you another trick, okay? You ready for this? I can defy gravity. See that? Whoa. Pretty surprising, right? That's pretty cool. These are magnets. You guys ever seen magnets before? Does anybody have a refrigerator at their house?
Yeah.
You do? Do you have any magnets on your refrigerator? Not every refrigerator has magnets, but sometimes they do. Yeah, magnets stick to metal things, so that's how this works. But if you didn't know that, that's pretty surprising, right? That especially the way they can make this one dance like that and spin around, that's pretty cool. The reason I'm talking about surprises today, though, is because we're going to hear a lesson today about how God does surprising things all the time, okay? The first part of the lesson we're going to hear is about how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that starts teeny tiny, teeny tiny, teeny tiny, teeny tiny, and it grows into something giant, which is surprising, right? But the biggest surprise of all is that God does something very, very, very surprising with Jesus. Because Jesus dies, and then does anybody remember what happens? Is that the end of the story? Do you remember? That's right, he dies, and they bury him, and 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead and comes out of the tomb. It's the most surprising thing that's ever happened, ever, right? God is full of surprises. God can bring something huge out of something tiny, and the biggest surprise of all is what God does in Jesus, brings Jesus back from the dead, and because of that, we have life too. What I want you guys to remember is, even though you guys are not the biggest, right? You guys are still kids, right? Yeah? Babies are really interesting, aren't they? Yeah. Babies are interesting. They cry. I know. That's what we, every time we ask Marcus how his baby sister is, what she's doing, he says she's crying. Yeah, so that's true. But what I want you guys to remember is that one of the surprising things that God does is God uses even little things to make big things happen in the world for God, okay? That could be a mustard seed being like the kingdom and getting really big, but it could be that God is going to use something little like you to bring about something big in the world. So I want you guys to see if this week there are ways that you can follow God's call and make something big happen in the world. All right, let's pray while we still got any attention at all up here, right? Repeat after me. Lord God, you make big things happen. Use me to be part of your kingdom work. Amen. Thank you. You guys did a great job up here with me. We can look at these magnets again sometime later if you're interested in those. And Miss Susan is going to line up over here to go to Children's Church if you guys want to go to Children's Church.
First reading comes from the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs of bare fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 92, will be read by whole verse. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In old age they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please. For all of us, we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense from what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. If you ever spend any time with a 7-year-old, maybe a 5-year-old even, you better be ready for some questions. And if the kid is persistent, these questions could take you to a ridiculous place before too long. You start with something simple. "Let's put on your socks, please." "Why?" "Well, because we need to put on your shoes before we can put your socks on." "Why?" "Because if you don't put on your socks, your feet will be sweaty and your shoes will get stinky." "Why?" "Because when your feet get hot and the body tries to cool them down with sweat, the sweat doesn't smell good." "Why?" And unless you're a dermatologist or an evolutionary biologist or something, at some point, for me, pretty soon, you're going to run out of explanations, right? And even the experts in the field, if you get that dermatologist there to tell them why sweat smells stinky, they can get it down dozens of levels beyond where I could, probably to a cellular level or a chemical level. But at some point, as we try to explain smaller and smaller processes, there comes a point where we have to answer the question why with something like, "because," right? Because that's the way things are, right? For us who believe, science is a description of God's work. We don't need to discount any of it. But at the point when science yet doesn't have answers for us, when it has told us as much as we can know, we people of faith come to a point where the answer to the why question becomes, "Well, because that's how God made it, that's why." And it's a matter of faith. This is the sense that I get in the first parable today from the fourth chapter of Mark. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. And here we are this morning, about 2,000 years of scientific knowledge later, but there's still this sense of mystery to this whole process, right? How do seeds work? Okay, yeah, you put them in the ground and they sprout and they grow. How? Well, it has something to do with temperature and moisture and sun. How? And that's pretty much as far as I can take it. I have to concede at this point that I don't know how it works, that it just happens. Apart from my understanding, effort, or control, there is something mysterious about it. But I believe those seeds will come up. At some level, it's a matter of faith, right? And this, Jesus says, is what God's rule, God's kingdom is like. Somebody has been out there casting seeds around, and they sprout and they grow. But even the person who put the seeds out there in the first place might not understand or be in control of this process and how it works. Which means that no matter how much we might want to, sometimes we just can't make those seeds come up, and neither can we, by what we do, make God's rule come on our terms. But you know, on the flip side, there are times when we just can't stop some frustrating seeds from coming up, and we surely can't stop the coming of God's kingdom either. Which is good news, isn't it? To those who are downtrodden, to those who are hurting, to all who are sick and suffering, to everybody who has to contend with sin and death and the power of the devil, and that's all of us, right? There is good news. The kingdom of God is coming. It's been planted, and it's in the process of unfurling itself, of growing, because what was buried in the ground has risen to new life. Jesus, who was sealed in the tomb, sealed into the ground by us whom he came to save, apart from our effort or understanding, Jesus is risen. And with him, he brings the kingdom of God. This is God's kingdom, where God rules, and that means that sin and death have no place. God's kingdom, where all things are being made new. God's kingdom that without our effort or understanding still comes. Thanks be to God. It cannot be stopped, not by the devil, not by the power of death. Jesus sort of made that pretty clear in the resurrection, right? And certainly it cannot be stopped by our blunders or by our efforts. The second of these little parables from Mark puts an exclamation point on this fact that we can't stop God's kingdom coming. We're talking about seeds again, right? This time the mustard seed. And you may have heard me say it before, but the mustard variety that grows into large shrubs in the Middle East is an invasive and nearly uncontrollable weed that grows 20 feet high in every direction. Quickly it grows, taking over everything around it. It's almost impossible to root out. And in ancient times, there were even laws on the books in some cities who had walls that said you can't bring mustard seeds within the walls of this city, because if you get even just one of those tiny seeds to fall into the ground and root, it's going to spread everywhere no matter what you do. And this is what God's kingdom is like, Jesus says. It comes without our effort or skill. Whether or not we want it, God's kingdom comes. Out of death, life, and the rule of God grows up big enough to provide shade and protection for God's creation. Thanks be to God. And this is where my sermon probably would have ended today if I hadn't watched any news in the last couple of weeks. But look, as people of God, there is more for us to say. And I think we have to weigh in on what the United States, what we are doing right now, separating children from their parents. Because despite what some people in positions of power have said on TV this week, I'm here to tell you there is no legitimate biblical defense for taking babies from their mamas. And what we actually get in the Bible sounds like this. From Romans 12, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Mark 9, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Matthew 25, just as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Romans 13, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of all law. Deuteronomy 10, love the orphan and the stranger among you, for you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19, when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. I could probably do these for 15 minutes more. I'm going to spare you that this morning. Unless you want to hear it, come talk to me and we'll do 15 more minutes. But the point I want you to take away is the biblical witness is exceedingly clear here about how we are to treat people. And look, this isn't about who you voted for the last time or who you're going to vote for the next time. This isn't about, for me, the left or the right, because I am sure that there is plenty of blame to go around for the mess that we find ourselves in. But what it's about is that we as people of faith have to be clear with our witness that there is not a moral or faithful or biblical witness for pulling children away from their parents, for using children as a bargaining chip, a threat, or a deterrent, because they're children. You know what they're for? They're for loving, they're for nurturing, and that is it. That's the end of the discussion as far as our faith goes, as far as the biblical witness goes. And I think we know that, right? What impact, though, can we have? All of this happens far away. It's a big issue. But look, big things can come from small beginnings, right? Isn't there something in the Bible somewhere about, I don't know, a little seed growing into something big? Personally, I can't think of a better way to welcome the kingdom of God and to lean into its coming than to work to reunite children with parents whom they were forcibly separated from. What better way could there be to honor fathers today than by trying to unite a child with hers? So, will you join me this afternoon in an act of worship, in an act of pointing to the will of God by making some phone calls? I'm serious about this. Will you call an elected representative today and ask them, leave a message to make this right? I got stacks of phone numbers right here. I'm going to go during the hymn. I'm going to put some right here and in the back. Because 10 minutes this afternoon you could use to lean into the coming of God's kingdom by working for the will of God in the world, which is not that children would be separate from their parents. We are not the biggest church. We're not in the biggest town or in the biggest state. But look, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Let's do some sowing today for the sake of God's children. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed found on page 105. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord God Most High, your divine realm is like a noble tree whose branches give shade and rest to all peoples of the earth. Make your church a nesting place for all who need your peace and healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God Most High, all the world is a garden for your creativity. Refresh places of drought with abundant rains. Strengthen and keep safe those who fight fire. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God Most High, you speak and your word is accomplished. Speak to the leaders of all nations that they might end cycles of violence, giving people everywhere tranquility and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord Most High, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Bring the abundant healing blessings of new creation into the lives of those who suffer illness or deprivation of any kind. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Tootie, Barbara, Elizabeth, the family of Gary, Herbert, Bobby, Lydia, Joanne, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God Most High, your steadfast love and faithfulness sustain your people. Bless fathers and all father figures with such love and faithfulness that children flourish and grow in uprightness and joy. Bless those, Lord, who long to be fathers and those for whom this day is difficult. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Most High God, just as the earth produces of itself and the harvest comes, you gather up your people from all times and places. Bring us, along with all those who have died before us, into the lasting harvest of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of peace with one another.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to the needs of our world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.